Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com. Hey everyone, I'm Devin Simone.
And I'm Tori Deal, and this is MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Tori, was this like the spiciest and also most emotional episode of the season so far?
I mean, it was up there, but knowing where it goes, I cannot give it, you know? But it was a lot.
Ooh, I love this season.
It just keeps getting spicier and spicier.
I love it so much. Now, something that hasn't gotten as spicy, TJ's wardrobe. I just have to shout out, though, I really did like the gray jacket he wore and the hat combo in this week's elimination. It really made his eyes pop. Looked beautiful, TJ. Well done. Now, usually we do a breakdown, but this is a really juicy interview. We got a lot of stuff, covered a lot of topics. So I think we're going to just jump into the gold star and the timeout so that you guys can hear from our guests. Sound good, Tori?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Who's your gold star?
My gold star is Fessy, and I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, please.
He kept me out of that elimination.
Okay.
I think that if he hadn't approached the conversation with Michaela, my ass was going in. So I got to give it to him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. Who is your timeout of the week?
Oh, God. I don't know. Can you go first?
I'll go with my gold star. So it is a tie for me in gold star. Michaela for conquering her fear like that. Just a beautiful, moving story. Like, I love to see that so much. And I love the way everybody kind of rallied around her. Just amazing. And also Tyler, because Tyler is still holding it down with his protecting of Alyssa. Even him being like, do you need space in this time? Do you want me to ask people to stay out of the room while you take space? Like, that's just like a good person, a good friend, a good romantic partner. Those are the qualities you guys should be looking for. I'm not saying date a Tyler, you guys. I don't know enough about him. I'm just saying that when you are evaluating, Tori, your showmances, I'm kidding. anybody, when you're evaluating your partner, that is an amazing quality to have. So gold star goes to Tyler and Michaela. For timeout, somebody did make me mad. And then you know what? I forgot who.
Was it Josh for voting in Wes?
Yes, it was Josh and his dramatics. You were right. Josh, you get the time out. Man, what on earth? Talking like, if he doesn't sit down somewhere.
I mean, that it really did make it, it felt very emotional for me. I understand like how hard it is to have to go in there and say somebody's name. And, you know, it's, we're getting closer to the end. But like,
have you ever cried over saying somebody's name?
No.
That's what I thought.
But I think antidepressants stopped me from doing that. Like, I think
if I wasn't on them,
I think I'd be crying more.
I mean, I don't like stand in it. Also, when he like patted Wes on the back literally right after he voted him, if that is not a Bible story, I don't know what is. Like, seriously, Josh, just you voted the man in. We get it. Feels bad. Yada, but get over it. But I mean, but he wouldn't be Josh if he weren't crying. So like, on one hand, you love it because that's Josh.
It's
but on
Josh.
The other hand, it's like, come on now.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, yeah, it was, you know, it's a shitty situation to be put in. Ultimately, I feel bad for Wes. Like, it sucks. Like, it really does suck to see him go.
I would have loved to see him in the final. I really would have.
Like, yeah, I hope he doesn't retire.
I think he'll be back. Weston, we need you. I think I give him some time, I think, and hope that Wes will be back. But for the people that are still here, we have some dynamic personalities, and one of them is a guest on today's episode. And let me tell y'all, I mean, she has thoughts, she has opinions, but she does not have a notebook this time. We are talking about Michaela. You guys are not, I mean, this is probably the spiciest episode of this podcast that we have done, certainly this season and in a while. She is the epitome of the motto, don't overthink, just overshare. She's going to give you exactly what she's feeling and thinking. And we have a visit from a surprise special guest as well that you won't want to miss. So grab your snacks, do your things, get your popcorn. Get cozy, put on those little house socks that make you feel good, and stay tuned because we're coming up with an interview with Miss Michaela from Survivor right after this.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
This person was on two seasons of Survivor. She was originally on the Challenge Spies, Eyes, and Allies, and we didn't get to see enough of her there. But this season, we are surely seeing a lot of her in terms of competition, gameplay, in incredible confessionals. Welcome, Mikayla Bradshaw!
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, girl. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good so far. I tend to do better the second time, and all I had to do was not be out first, so I'm a winner in my book.
All you had to do was not bring a notebook, Mikayla.
You know, not bring
one and not let
I didn't bring a pen, I didn't bring paper. I said, y'all not gonna catch me with nothing.
Right.
I'm illiterate as far as y'all are concerned. this season.
I'm so glad that you left the school supplies at home, because it's been so good watching you navigate through this game, making money moves, being sort of this powerhouse, which I think even when, and to be fair, by the way, if I didn't say it on Aftermath when you came on from your first season of Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies, the more guests I had on afterwards, because obviously you were on the first episode that we did, because I mean, you were basically out during opening credits. You did get played, Mikayla, in Spies, Lies, and Allies. You 100% got played, and I'm mad for you, but I'm so glad to see you here showing us what you can really do.
Thank you. You know, we all have learning lessons in life, but we don't get fooled twice.
Dude, listen,
there you go.
And you didn't. I really think that, like, there's not many people who go out first and make an impact that lasts the way that you have. And then also, everybody already knew what they were dealing with when you came on the show. Like, your first challenge daily on Spies, Eyes, Allies, you came in second place. You were this close to winning. So, like, you being the competitive force that you are, and us even seeing glimpses of you this season with you running with that box on your back when we were still in teams and being in front of literally all the guys. And then, obviously, we're not going to get into this daily challenge yet, but absolutely murdering it. Like, your athletic abilities speak for themselves, and now we finally get to see them because you're here.
Well, yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. Means a lot coming from you, champ.
Oh, thanks, girl. I appreciate it.
I couldn't tell if there was sarcasm there. We'll find out later in this episode. So, Mikayla, before we get into the breakdown of what happened this episode, because there was a lot. I feel like there was a lot of emotions, a lot of feels, a lot of things. But multiple challengers who we've had on the podcast have said, and it's sort of apparent in watching you, is that you very much read people. And I don't mean just read people with like shade. You do that too, which is funny. But you read, you assess people, you analyze people. And so I'm curious, I'd love to play just a little game where we get a sense of what does Mikayla think, right? And so I'm gonna just throw out a name, and I just want to know, without any spoilers, because we don't know, obviously, you guys know what happened season. I have made Tori swear to not tell me things because I want to watch it as a viewer and not know what happens. So without giving spoilers, we're going to play a little game. I'm just going to throw out a couple names at you, and I want you to give me one adjective that in Michaela's challenge assessment that you have about that player. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Let's start with bananas.
Bananas. Two words. A champ came to mind and then special. And special Ooh. Was a euphemism.
Okay. Okay.
He's a special one.
He's a special one. What about Janae?
Janae's actually really nice. She's mm-hmm. a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, I don't have one word.
Oh, that's yeah, I've noticed. It's all right. We'll allow for two. What about Chris?
Liar.
Ooh, you got one word right there.
Yeah, that one was easy.
Did you feel that way always, or was it not
yes,
until this point?
From day one.
Really? Interesting.
From moment one.
Why?
Because I can smell foolishness. Mm. It's my nostrils are very attuned to it because I work in corporate America. Mm. And Chris, some people just look sketchy in how they move.
Okay.
Their movements, their body language just exudes lack of trustworthiness. And that was him. And then I just noticed little things like, you know, I'll tell one person a piece of information mm-hmm. and then you see how it travels and how it changes. And I noticed people had negative perceptions whenever Chris was a part of their chain of communication. And it's okay. like, but you're not saying anything to me, though.
Right.
Noted. So, yeah, okay. He proves how he is.
When you, just want to go back a challenge, when we were swinging from the top of those trucks against each other, did you know that Chris was the root of that plan while we were there?
I did not know that. But I figured that I wasn't surprised when I found out it was him. I found out it was him in the house. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't surprising at all
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. And was that like a part of just adding to this? Because obviously this episode, we really see it kind of blow up. It's,
yeah,
you know, we get this yeah. introduction of you saying you don't trust him. And then all of a sudden now, you know, you guys, we have this montage.
It's obvious.
Chris, yeah. Just spiraling.
Yeah. It's an obvious thing. And then for me, I think they showed this, like we had a little come to Jesus meeting after Chris won. And it's mm-hmm. like, look, you throw people under the bus. Like now I can pull out all my receipts because I know this. Now everybody has seen it. But if we're going to move forward, then you need to acknowledge what you did
right
and then move forward. He used so many words to skirt around it, but in the confessional it was like I acknowledged what I did. It's like, no, you weren't. I was in conversation. You didn't actually. So it's interesting. It's like I would say liar and I would say fake.
Okay.
Yeah, those are his adjectives.
What words would you use to describe Fessy?
I like Fessy. let me see. Fessy, what word would I describe? Athletic. Mm-hmm. He's very athletic.
Okay.
At the end, you know what? I would also say, I don't know, some word that means nice on the inside, but doesn't know how to articulate it, if that was the word.
I kind of agree with that about Fess. Like, he can come across
teddy bear
a certain way, but he's actually like a low-key teddy bear.
He's a good person. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. What about Dr. Desi?
Desi? My first thought was interesting. I think there's a lot to, and I'm going to spin it this way. I think there's a lot to Desi that people don't look into because how she presents. I think she presents in such a palatable way that it's easy for people to be like, oh, but I think there's a lot of depth to, I don't know, to her story and her personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I think, yeah. Also, that thing. I think she's interesting. I think it was interesting to me to know that I was in the Secret Garden this whole time. I'd never heard that term while I was on the show. but yeah, I think with me, Desi, and Chanel, honestly, we are so different, mm-hmm. and it's difficult unless you get to know each of us individually, I think it's difficult to know how different we really actually are. And so that's why I say Desi's interesting.
Okay.
Because there's, okay. Yeah. Once you start digging deep, response. It's like there's a lot of differences. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I look forward to finding out more about those differences. I definitely want to circle back on that. Two more names for you, particularly relating to this episode. First mm-hmm. one is Josh.
This is why we need video. This is why we need video.
Making a face. She is making a face.
Josh, extra. Mm. He can be extra sometimes.
Like
I love me some...
Like extra, like a side of guac, like extra, like a side in a movie, like extra, like over the top, like good extra or bad extra.
Like over the, I think he can be a little over the top, but still lovable. Like, yeah. I like me some Josh. I love me some Josh. But some of the stuff I watched, I was like, now why are you crying if you put the ball on?
Thank you. He'd be good on Real Housewives, I feel like.
extra. But like,
right, but like lovable. I agree. I adore Josh.
Yeah.
And like, yes, but everything you just said, right? Like, you threw this man in. Why are you over here crying, giving him a kiss, Judas Iscariot? Like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. If you don't take your Peter and Paul behind and sit down, right? Like, yeah. You did this. But to be fair, Wes was talking a whole lot of smack.
About
and I wonder
that.
If that confessional was done
after.
Prior to him knowing or after.
After. Come on.
Right. Really?
Because... Oh my God, yes. Absolutely. Because you see Josh telling Wes in the sand. Wes had no idea, obviously. And then after, we have to go do our interviews and we have to catch up an episode or two. For sure, yeah. He was talking shit after the fact. Like, yeah.
So do you think that he was really, because that's a good point, Tori, because when we see Wes on the treadmill, right? And then we see Josh like talking to Wes and sort of being like this bro thing happening. And it looks very much like Josh is more into it than Wes, right?
So it Josh does.
Is kind of, and then we cut to the confessional where Wes is like, I'll never see Josh as a rival. I'll never see. Are you saying that the energy in the house was very much that Wes was equally as supportive of or friendly with Josh, and it wasn't until after he found out about being voted in by Josh that his energy shifted?
I think that, at least from my perspective, I think that was evident mm-hmm. just by how Wes reacted. It wasn't anger. It was sheer disappointment. It was sad. It was like, why? It was like, why? It wasn't like, fuck you. Like, you're never going to. So I think when he took it
true,
that way.
But I feel like, but is that because Wes thinks everyone believes everything he says?
Yeah.
Because I also get that vibe from Wes a little.
Yeah. One thing I can say, and Wes was putting on some form of a front in the game, right? To the mm-hmm. whole Greens team, he tried to make it appear like he was on the outs with all the vets. Nobody had his back, you know, XYZ, LMNOP. And if you didn't believe that, then. He was uncomfortable with you and me. So maybe, you know, if somebody else was in earshot of the conversation with Josh, that could have impacted how he was interacting in that one moment. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember ever seeing, besides them running on a treadmill together, which they did sometimes, beyond that, I never actually saw with my own two eyes them hanging out together. So I didn't realize that they had a close relationship at all. So I don't know.
I also think that, like, you know, it was a long time coming for them. They were rivals for a while back there. You know, they were gunning for each other mm-hmm. a lot in War of the Worlds too. So I think there's a long mm-hmm. history of trying to climb back up. And I think
right.
the way Wes looked at this game, obviously, like, everybody's in their own groups with Big Brother and then Survivor and then the vets. And then I think Wes did kind of latch on to himself and look at Josh as this person who was out of everybody there, somebody that would have his back. So I think
interesting.
I think that's kind of the way Wes played it. And I definitely think Wes popped over into the dungeon more often than people maybe recognized, which was that like bottom bedroom where Bananas stayed and Josh stayed. You know, Michelle would be down there. I'd be down there. Like, you know.
Why was he so mad when I asked him if he's going to move to the dungeon then?
I don't know. Because I think that was a fair question. I think that was a fair
Me
question.
Too.
I do.
Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a lot for him, I think. But let's get into this daily challenge. Or do you have another name, Devin?
Before we do, one more. I had one more name. Cassidy.
Delusional. I was waiting for that one.
Ooh. Okay. Please do explain.
I think she just is one of those people that is out of touch with reality. Like, her observations and her awareness of her own self does not match what everybody else experiences. And then she just makes those stories in her head and just runs with them. And it's unfortunate because she's so beautiful.
What do you mean?
Give us an example. So Michelle, Cassidy, Chris, and Sebastian had a 4-people Survivor Alliance coming into the game. Mm-hmm. Right? They were the one talking about Survivor Strong. And I was like, I don't know y'all. And the people who stabbed me in the back the most is Survivors. I don't know none of y'all. I know Michelle a little bit. And all you do is stab people in the back. So, you know, that's cute. And that's why you don't see me talking the first 3 episodes. I'm eating and looking. I was just observing people, right? I don't trust them. Like, that's what that was. I didn't know any of them. So, but as numbers start whittling down, even though all the survivors are there, all of a sudden Cassie's on the bottom and there's a strong people alliance, but Michelle is here and this, that, and the third, and y'all have your 4 and y'all left me, Desi, and Chanel out. Hmm. And now all of a sudden, because we didn't sit here on the bottom waiting to get chopped off, and we started mixing and mingling and doing what we need to do to get what we need to get, now all of a sudden you're at the bottom of the Survivor Alliance and everybody else is strong women. I'm like, girl, no, you played yourself. And you have all these episodes to figure it out and to readjust, and we'll see if you choose to do it or not.
I think she was, I think ultimately, like, I had conversations with Cassidy in our room, you know, obviously I throw her in the second week and she was like really upset about that. And I think that she was assuming that when the game shifted and went individual, this was pivotal because she was assuming she had already gotten close with me. She had already gotten close with Michelle. And obviously Alyssa was there as well. I think she kind of assumed girl wise that like the power was going to shift. Like the opportunity I had was going to be directed shots at you guys, and it was the complete opposite. So when she realized that the game was shifting around her, even though she was trying to build relationships, I think she was just kind of bitter about that. And, you know, maybe it comes off as, because I'm not defending her. I think I'm more just trying to understand where she could have come from, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. But even thinking of it that way, how long does it take to recognize, oh, wait, that's not what's happening, you know?
Yeah,
it's right. Like we all had to pivot when the game went individual. Like, y'all had just thrown me in and then there's a conversation like, let's work together.
Yeah.
It's like, please. So I wasn't opposed to the idea, but I'm like, I need some evidence before I jump in this thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I think everybody has to adjust in these games and figure different things out and realize, you know, every day something can shift. And I just feel like instead of being adaptable and shifting, she chose to play the victim and woe is me and, you know, go into elimination against tiny people and then come out and then talk for 3 days about, oh, my arms and I did so much. And it's just like, girl, it would probably be better for you to act like it doesn't bother you at all, and then change your social game a little bit instead of drawing more attention to yourself every time you come back and annoying everyone. But that's just my perspective.
I thoroughly enjoy hearing the way you go about, because you look at it very much like a game. Like, you really, really do. It's like straight analytical over there.
Yeah, you're very analytical. I love it.
And it's not personal, but it's like, but I think of it as work. And you know where I got this from is Casey. So coming into my little first season of the 24 hours of the challenge, even though it was only one episode, it was a lot of days because it was in the heat of COVID.
Yeah.
And it was driving me crazy to be in that house because I was going in there like I am in real life. Like, these are humans and I want to get to know people. And I was just feeding on everybody's energy and seeing things happening and feeling these walls. And it was because I was approaching things like an interpersonal relationship, like how I deal with people at home. If I meet you on the street and I like you and we want to connect, that's how I was approaching it. And that that posture is what allowed me to get taken advantage of, thrown into the elimination, and my feelings were so hurt about it that I couldn't get my mind together to perform well in elimination. So it's like, all right, well, I'm gonna operate as though this is work. I'm here for a check. I'm clocking in. All I need to do is see what's happened, navigate around it, stay out the way, and when I have to play, play.
Mm-hmm. And so they hardened that, you, is what you're saying. Spies, Lies, and Allies hardened you to the game.
You can say hardened, or you can just say, look, I know what it is. And there's a difference. Like, there's a difference between how people are or how I am with people in real life, and then what I expect of them when I meet them in that environment. Like, my expectation going into this season is anybody I meet in this environment, they want to get themselves to a final. They want to win.
Right.
And if it ever looks like I'm in the way of that, they will turn against me. And just leave it there instead of coming in like, oh, I like this person, we could be friends. No. So it don't matter. People be like, who do you think put your ball in? I don't care. I don't care if you put the ball in. I care that a ball was in. I'm going to do something different today. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think happened in the nomination? Why do you think they nominated you? I don't care. I care that they nominated me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go in. And if I do, I go in, I come back out. If I don't go in, great. That means I have to do something different. And I just didn't, I didn't take anything personally this time. And I didn't try to make things about me. It's just like, okay, just be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Things will be working.
Is that the same thought process you had when you were having deliberations with Fessy about voting in Tori? Because we saw just not even 24 hours before, you guys sort of made an alliance where Tori saying, hey, I'm not going to vote for you guys, you know, da da da. And you're like, cool. And then it shows, like, you know, in the SpongeBob character voice, not even 24 hours later, you see you talking to Fessy being like, you want to throw in Tori? So is that, was that your mentality or your approach there?
It's, my thing is, you have to consider all the options at all times, right? Words are cheap until there's action to back it up. And somebody not, like, for me, if there's 1,000 options of people to throw in and 999 of them don't have connections, well, it didn't cost anything for that person to make that decision, right? Mm-hmm. Loyalty for me comes in when there's a cost and then you still choose to do something that is in alignment with what we said or is in my favor, then it's like, bet. So for me, it's like, I took words at face value with a grain of salt. A lot of people, when the game switched and it said no more teams, there was a lot of conversations that happened. So if I would have been like, oh, everybody who said they want to work with me wants to work with me, the math don't math like that. You got to throw a ball and you have to nominate someone.
Yeah.
So that's really what it was. And I consider options all the time. And that's going to be evident anytime I have to make a decision. They haven't shown all my secret hopper vote selections, but it was Game of Thrones in that hopper room. Everybody got it.
my question is like, and you know, I, listening to the way you're describing it, it makes sense. You know, of course, there's a bunch of people who's willing to work with all of us when we're in there. Words only give so much. Actions speak louder. So knowing that, like, I had power those first 2 weeks, was that, because obviously you're going to sit at that table, you're going to contemplate, you're going to think, was that the original reason why you eventually switched your vote to go another way? Was it because I looked out for you, or was there another factor that made you kind of pull yourself off from throwing me in?
It was Fessy's explanation, because when I sat down at the deliberation, it was like, I've never made it this far in this game before. This is a difference that I'm not used to. Fessy has gone far in games several times, right? So I know when I'm out of my depth, and I appreciated that he was just honest and transparent. He wasn't playing games. And the way he broke it down, because I was like, okay, tell me how people play at this juncture. And he broke it down real simple. It's like, here's the two options you can do. You can make waves and you can throw people in or that type of thing, or you can use this as an opportunity to build trust with certain people. And if you build trust with people that are likely to win, it protects you further than saving people that are likely to lose.
Totally.
And I was like, that math makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
But yeah, even after that, it was a day by day thing for me, because again, my experience in these games is I trust people faster than I should, because I do that in real life. Mm. And then people stab me in the back. And so my thing was, I'm going to be slow on extending trust. And I'm going to just watch out and see how people move. And then we'll just see how that goes. So, yeah. But really, it was Fessy's explanation of things. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I also want to go back to the reason why you had power in the first place, which was this incredible challenge that literally nobody wanted to do. And I mean, Michaela, you and I were up there the first two times alone, or maybe just the first time alone, and we were like, dude, it was brutal. I was almost up there crying with you just because it was cold. But talk us through like what it was like to be scared and go through with that.
Yeah, that was so. I didn't realize that I was afraid of heights. I know that I don't like doing things that don't make sense. So like waiting in a line, getting on a roller coaster, letting it take me up in the air and then drop me down. That doesn't make sense. That's why I don't do it. paying money, getting in an airplane to go up and then jump out. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I don't do it. But really, I don't like heights. And I didn't know until I got up there and I was like, oh, this is not comfortable. But in my mind, I'm like, all right, you do it once, you're just going to do the same thing over and over. Just get it over it once and it'll be fine. And that second time, it was not fine. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do, because it's like your mind is telling you like, hey, there's a purpose behind doing it. You know what you need to do, move forward. And it's physically possible. You're not going to die, but your emotions are like, I don't feel good about this. I don't like this. And your gut is gonna not like, you know, it was a lot of dissonance for me. And I'm not used to having that, because I just normally move in a way that's in alignment with myself. But
did you have that same feeling though, or trepidation around, because I see you doing that on this platform. And to me, now I don't want to say it looked fun, but it looked like better than it did. It looked better than some. It looked more enjoyable, perhaps, than some of the other challenges, certainly that have been done in the past, and even some of the other dailies that have been done this season. So we see you freak out there. Did you freak out when you were strapped to the side of a semi pulling Tori's hair?
I was a little nervous about that one, but with that one, we were only about 10 feet off the ground, maybe. And I mean, we were strapped into something, so I could trust in the cloth, right? Three strands of tie together.
I guess, but you're on the side of a semi truck, ma'am. Like, you know, wasn't scared over cement, versus
heights over cement.
And you know what? There was a competitive nature to that one also. Like going against somebody else, having a very clear, like, okay, I have a mission that I can focus on. I'm going from here to here. I'm trying to slap these things. Like all the little technical parts of what you needed to do, and the fact that you had opposition, it gave me something else to focus on. And once I got comfortable in the harness, you know, the second time for me was actually fun. The first time was a little scary until I got used to it. The second time was fun. But this is like, it's you and you. You're choosing to run and jump off of a platform into the Croatian ocean, which is cold. And it's already cold and raining. So it's like, there's nothing about that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think the coldness elevated people's fear of it, Tori? Like, yeah,
100%.
Okay.
Like, it was actually freezing. They had production running over to us, putting towels on
putting
us.
Putting jackets and
in between.
Yeah. I mean, we saw those jackets. Y'all look like Hogwarts. Yeah. It looked like the additional school of Hogwarts.
Not
you out with those long, like, capes on basically over your uniform. Go back, listeners, go back and check. Go plus applause. I'm telling you, it looked like they were in Hogwarts.
Yeah. But
that makes sense.
I have to say one thing, because Tori did help me out on that challenge with her counting strategy. Because that first jump, it was a little hard. And I was like, I don't know what I said to you, but I was like, I'm scared. And you were like, you want me to count? And I was like, yeah. You know, that wasn't the solution I was thinking for, but you know what? And that got me off the first time.
I appreciate it. So were you guys counting and then just running? Yeah. What were you doing? Were you just like three, two, one,
go. And you can literally hear me saying go at the very first round that we do together. But ultimately, listen, like, and I'm grateful you brought that up, because I wasn't going to bring it up. Like, not going to steal shine on your win. And you did all the work with that. But what I will say is like, you know, you don't, Michaela, you are truly, and I have said this throughout the season of this podcast, you were truly one of the best female competitors, if not the best, on this season. You have an unbelievable athletic ability. Why would I not want to try to beat you at your best? And, you know, like, there's no way I'm beating you in a long jump. Weren't you like a, didn't you do track? Like,
yeah, high
you're
jump.
A beast. And a high jump. Like, oh, well, no wonder why. Okay. You don't want to see somebody this is her time to shine. You don't want to see him go out like that. I'm a competitor. Like, if it's my thing, I want to shine on my thing. Like, this
was we saw that a couple episodes, Tori, when you snuck off and didn't give Sebastian the answers. We definitely saw that.
Oh, you didn't tell him, Kat.
Oh, my God. No, Michaela, it's so bad. Not only did she not give the answers, when she figured out one of them, she slowly steps back into the water and tells the group nothing. Mind you, they had all agreed beforehand that they would tell each other. She slowly backs up and then just disappears into the water.
I get it. Everyone was mad at me, but I needed to win that in order to gain leverage to not be thrown in this week. So it was literally, it all happened the way it had to happen.
It was a mess. I will say something I noticed is, Michaela, when you did, it was when Tori lost the round against you. So it was before you like won one. Mm-hmm. It was when you were crying, the round where you were just really like, I don't want to run. And then you finally did and you got the thing. You see Tori in the water cheering with such excitement when you grab the baton, which is really cool. Those moments of just people supporting people, right?
And I felt that way the whole time. Like, you know, when I hesitated to jump that one time, Desi and Tori in the water were cheering. And then the guys on the other side were cheering. Mm-hmm. When I was hesitating, people were yelling, you can do it, go, Michaela. And TJ trying to tell me I'm out of time. I'm like, no, I'm not.
But I was wondering, I was waiting for TJ to say that time thing.
I was right up on it.
When you won, I actually cried, because there was just a moment of you pushing through that fear that was so beautiful and I know will resonate with so many people because everyone gets scared of something. Yeah. And so you pushing through it multiple times and then just seeing how, like, if they had cut out the part of you crying, we would have never known the struggle because you made it look easy.
For sure.
When you grabbed the baton, you made it look easy. And I feel like that is such a story for kind of life, social media, things like that. You see people achieving these great things and you kind of go, oh, well, damn, they're doing that. And they make it look easy. Yeah. But you don't know the internal struggle that happened on the inside. Not that we're going to church today. No. But Amen. Just really, it was... it was a really special moment and a well-deserved win. And I also have to say, of all the people we've had on the podcast this season, so many have come on and said, Michaela is a threat. Michaela is a force. Like, your name has come. We haven't like delved into it because so far in the season, we haven't gotten to see that much. But so many challengers who were there put so much respect on your name. They totally made up for what Kels and everybody else did to you in Spies, Lies, and Allies.
Oh, damn.
Because you were a force to be reckoned.
Is that why Kels didn't answer my message when I said I'm in London?
Ooh. I can't. Oh, ooh, man.
Got you. But anywho, all things happen because we haven't seen Kels back since. But anywho, next question.
Sorry. That just took my breath away for a moment. We're going to take a quick break, but don't worry. We'll be right back after this.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
So everybody coming into this episode is kind of disliking Chris, right? Because we see Chris doing some craziness in the past episode where he's clearly, again, like, and this episode, throwing his Survivor teammates under the bus. He kind of looks a little weak. It's a whole mess. But then this week, we get to see a bit of a softer side, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we get to see his feelings of insecurity, his feelings of inadequacy from just other things in his life. How did watching that make you feel?
I felt like Chris maybe has taken some acting classes, and it just doesn't strike me as genuine. Like when I listen, I take away how hard he had to squeeze his eyes for the tears to come out, and I just listen to the words he was saying. It's like, you know, this reminds me of when I walked on to a sports team in college and I practiced hard and didn't get to play. That's because you weren't at the level of a collegiate athlete. That's not a life challenge. That's not a hardship. That means that the bar is here and you are not there. Like, nothing happened to you in that moment. So I do believe that at this point in the game, he likely felt very alone and stuff, but that was based on his own doing. And I think it was all his little scheming and whatever he was doing in the background. I think that was catching up to him. But I saw so much in the first part of the game that it is difficult for me to trust that he is the victim of something. But I can believe that, you know, it's lonely when you isolate yourself, when you stab so many people in the back and nobody wants to be around you like that. Yeah, that feels lonely. Mm-hmm. And you're missing your wife and your kids or whatever. Yeah, that feels lonely, but that's called consequences of your actions. I would feel very lonely if I did those same things too. So if those were Chris's real feelings, great. But there were genuinely times like, I'm like, you must be a paid actor. Cause this is very bold and beautiful.
Bold and beautiful.
Do you think that, like, you know, obviously, Chris, your feelings on him are pretty clear, but what do you think about Michelle throwing Cassidy's ball into the hopper during this time?
That makes me wonder why Cassidy is so focused on the Strong Girl Alliance, because her bestie buddy.
And Michelle played that so well in her commentary, by the way. Michelle was cracking me up, not going to lie, because she was like, Cassidy is focused on that Strong Girl Alliance. I'm pretty sure I'm not in that view, so good. Like, vote. And it's like, it's those moments that flying under the radar is great. That was always my strategy. Like, you're like, good, don't look at me.
Don't look over here.
Like, great.
No, first of all, I love Michelle's confessionals. They are funny. I have to give her credit. One thing I'm not is a hater. I'll tell you about yourself all day, but when you do something good, I'm gonna brag on you. And you know, I don't resonate with the way that she plays a lot of times. I think sometimes she does unnecessary stuff. And again, there are times where if you're working with, well, this is how I work. If I'm working with people and the situation gets a little hairy, I want to find a way to protect my group. My first thought is not, let me throw darts and cut the legs out of my own people and I'll just figure it out tomorrow.
That's
a different style of moving, and that's where me and Michelle don't but I think it's go ahead.
So I hear your point on that about, like, you feel like Michelle, when things get a little rickety, she kind of goes into how do I protect, self-preservation mode very quickly, right? And like, how do I throw the alliance to the team? But Desi kind of made a statement where she felt like you were considering the same thing in this episode when you were considering voting in Tori, because it seemed that Tori kind of grouped you all together, despite your differences, as, you know, the Strong Girl Alliance, if you want to call it that. I'm going to tell my kids it was Destiny's Child, because by the way, those photos up there when you were running to do that daily, like the pose, I was like, this is Destiny's Child. But anyway, but Desi felt like you were potentially doing the same thing by breaking the truce or whatever that you guys had all kind of agreed to with Tori the day before. How do you differentiate between that move and what Michelle tends to do?
Great question. Very easy. Michelle's alliance with Cassidy mm-hmm. started before the game started.
Okay.
This let's work together thing, that was less mm-hmm. than 24 hours. That was words only, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. And for me, again, I'm going to evaluate all options. I will talk through things. Doesn't mean mm-hmm. I'm sold on something just because I bring it up. Like, I'm bringing it up to get your thoughts and opinions. But right. it's not selfish for me to think through the options. It may be a reflection of like her fear, right? When she gets nominated, let me take the smallest person, even though it's cutting on my team. And Amanda, my ball didn't go on Amanda, even though Amanda's ball went on me, right? Because I saw right. value in Amanda staying in the game. I don't care if she was a vet or not, right? So, you know, that was at the end of the day, there's everybody's going to look out for their own interests to some degree. My consideration right. of Tori wasn't about like who she going to go against. It was, hey, mm-hmm. this is how the math works on the girl side of this game.
Right.
Somebody going to have to go. Somebody's going right. to go in. One of us going to end up in. Whoever of us is not winning is going to end up in. Might as well bite the bullet early. Or find a way to push it so the numbers are in our favor early, then wait till the end and potentially we go against each other. That right. was the mindset. So, you know, that's not selfish. Just if you scared, say you scared. It's not selfishness. You scared that you might end up against Tori. That's what it is.
I mean, and I don't blame her. Have you seen Tori's hair in elimination?
Have you seen Tori's hair in elimination? Man, I was yes. trying to give Jhonae so many tips.
Wait, you were giving Jhonae tips?
Yeah, yeah.
Tori Kicker, push her.
Tori was whooping up on Jhonae. I said, now we can't let the Jhonae go out like this. Now you got the donkey kick or something, girl. You got the grab her by the neck. Thump her in the neck. Hold her nose. If she can't breathe, she can't fight. Like,
And now we understand why Michaela went to hair pulling in that.
Michaela
challenge.
Is man, she's different, man. She is true. She's built for it. You're either built for it and or you're not. And she's just one of those players that just is. Like, no matter who goes up against Michaela in anything, it's gonna be a dogfight. Throw strategy is good. It will hopefully keep you out of elimination.
Yeah.
But when it turns into a dog fight with Michaela, it's a straight up dog fight. Like,
basically, if you're going to be on a challenge and you're listening to this podcast, as you should be, start building an alliance with Michaela now. Yeah. I don't know what season y'all are going to be on together, but just it's good in your best interest. Build it now so then you can call back on that time you brought her a Starbucks or whatever. Be like, remember, girl, in 2023, I did that. So please don't vote me in.
Yeah.
Just telling you now.
Just don't bother my face.
Michaela, why do you think Cassidy had so many balls in the hopper?
Because she's annoying. Very simple. You know? Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, like Josh putting the ball on Wes, it hurt his feelings so much he really had to think about it, contemplate. People were going in there like, Cassidy.
You guys didn't see it, but Michaela literally just like threw her phone like it was just a quick vote and walked
okay,
off.
You know what we're doing? Who nominated? Like, and that's what it is. And it's like, that's who? Did I nominate Cassie? No, I nominated Lisa. That's why I didn't want to nominate Cassie, now that we're being honest, because Cassie the easiest person to get the balls.
So right. We think you said that in the episode.
That was my thought process. Like, if you're really trying to think a step or two ahead and protect people that maybe are going to protect you, you just got to think about, okay, who can my people beat? Mm-hmm. And then also, like, what is the house most likely to do? Cassidy.
Yeah.
What's the house most likely to do? Tyler.
Wait, why do everybody hate Tyler now at this point, by the way?
They didn't hate Tyler.
By the way, his curls were also beautiful in this episode. Just have to shout out Tyler's hair. But why did everybody vote for Tyler?
Tyler is so nice and so sweet, and he is just the most chill presence. Him and Sebastian, I don't think anybody disliked Tyler, Sebastian, those type of people. He just got votes because he didn't really have any
allies.
Strategy, no connection. He was just there. you know, for a long period of time. And then next thing you know, all the Big Brother girls were gone because for whatever reason, they thought it was smart to go against the Survivor girls in the elimination. So then they got decimated. And then it's like, oh, well, Tyler's got the least connections in the house. That's easy. He can't do anything about it. And so he just ended up in that situation because he wasn't being proactive or thoughtful in the beginning or middle of the game. But I think
he was trying to be proactive in his relationship, Michaela. He was trying to wipe somebody up.
See, you're focusing on the wrong thing. What happened? Yeah.
Going down the wrong road.
You focus on the wrong thing. You got 365 days a year to get some lady parts. This ain't the time to do it. Get your turns.
Oh, God.
I'll be getting no lady parts in the challenge house.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely distracts people. I can say that from experience.
Really, Tori?
Yeah.
I would say, Tori, do you know anything about it? Michaela, what did you think about Tori and Sebastian's relationship in the house? What was your analysis of that?
So cute. First, okay, I got to be honest. At first, I was like, now, Sebastian? You didn't watch the show, right? You ain't the first. Nah. Guard your heart, buddy. I know you're a little fisherman in the sea, but hey, you don't know about that one. But then, over time, I would just be watching them, and I'm like, wait a minute, y'all actually kind of like each other. And then it was so cute. I just thought it was the cutest thing. So I just leave peep in, and they'd be cuddling, and then he would tell me, like, we haven't kissed yet, but I'm working on it. She's making me wait. And I'm like, oh, she's got morals?
Dude, like you said, I have been around the ringer. I was not trying to just jump in again and again. He was really sweet. Like Sebastian, like you said, he is one of those people that has a legitimate heart of gold. Like, but Michaela would walk by us all the time and she'd be like, you're going to end up barefoot and pregnant. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know what that means. I'm terrified of that.
It is not a good thing, Tori. That is
that
not
is.
A good thing.
That is.
She said it like it was a good thing.
Your shoes don't fit because your ankles are swollen because you've been pregnant back to back. That's what that means. That's your thing.
I don't want swollen feet.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to dream about that tonight and not by my own will. I feel like that's going to be in my mind.
You got married. You married.
I did.
Okay, you're going to be barefoot and pregnant.
Oh, hell no. You take that. Get thee away from me, Satan. Nope. Absolutely not. I have a fur dog, a fur child that is 15, and that is good enough for me. Well, I'm more likely to go back to a challenge than I am to have a kid. Wow. So, and that says a lot. What was it like? Also, I said that about doing reality TV that I would never do it, and then look what happened. Yeah. So let me just not talk. Yeah. What was it like watching the two eliminations, both of you guys, that day? And how long? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we knew it was timed, but it felt like it went by so fast. Like it felt like both of those were pretty like over instantaneously. What was it like watching it?
Okay. I would say, wait, y'all.
Wait, hold on a second. Is Big T leaving? Yeah, Big T. Come here. Big T.
Am I taking over the podcast?
Hello, beauty. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, babe?
Good. Good. You look lovely. What are you up to?
Just off to make an axe of mine jealous. Going to have dinner with them.
I love that for you.
Looking so fabulous, Big T. Our house cooking going?
It's going really well. I made 78 dumplings last night. I was up till 4 in the morning. Was literally just like sharpening up my skills and then hopefully going to be a personal chef. So that's the dream.
Oh my gosh. Love that. We are cheering for you all the way, Big T. Now, you know that, okay, so I know that Michaela's staying at your house in London right now, right? She's staying at your place. And so you heard, I don't know if you heard about how she is when it comes to alliances, but you have to build it early. Are you letting Michaela stay at your house now so you guys have a strong alliance for when you compete together again on a challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, the minute she landed, I said to her, welcome to the UK alliance.
Yeah, I love it. Very smart.
Finally recruited someone. It's normally just me and Kyle in that alliance. So, Michaela,
I'm coming over. I'm also coming
you
over.
Better.
I'm in.
You better. I
love it so much. I was looking at clips of Aftermath yesterday for something, Big T, and I came across all the clips of you, including one of you just playing a grand piano and then another one of you eating snacks in the middle of the recording. So great. We love you. We miss you. We cannot wait to see you back on our challenge screens.
I miss you guys as well. And hopefully I'll do a podcast with you guys without me killing.
Sounds
thank
good.
You.
Thank
well,
you.
Bye,
Big T.
Love you guys. Mwah. Bye.
Bye, babe.
I'll see you there.
Bye, babe. Dude, my face hurts from smiling.
I know. I'm sure that duo is all laughs. Like, to be a fly on the wall, I want to be at that slumber party. Yeah. Because I am sure it is just laughs, nonsense, and really good food.
Yeah.
Big T.
Yeah. Big T be chefing it up.
All right, Michaela, so does this mean you would never vote Big T in because you guys have a stronger, you have an official UK alliance?
I don't know what the Lord has in store.
You know what? Listen, we heard it here. Michaela needs actions before she gives her word. So I think that this is something that we'll have to wait to see. She wants to see the
proof.
She wants the proof in the pudding.
Proof in the pudding.
So ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Michaela, we know what your strategy was around the voting and why you wanted to put vote Alyssa in, so because you figured the House would vote Cassidy in. But we didn't really get to see is who did you actually want to come back into the House between both Alyssa. The guys and the girls?
I wanted, Alyssa to come back. Okay. One, she wouldn't be in a position to do anything about being thrown in. Like, so it's not like she would have come back with a vengeance or anything like that. But I liked Alyssa. She was pleasant. I knew that we weren't aligned with each other. I didn't trust her from a gameplay perspective, but personality wise, we were in the same room. She's cool. I know she liked Tyler, you know. So I liked Alyssa. I would have been happy with her winning. But, you know.
And for the guys, who did you want to see come back?
I wouldn't have been mad if Wes would have came back, to be quite honest. Like, I didn't have anything to do with throwing him in. And I feel like at that point in the game, like, again, everybody had to shift. So I was at a place with the guys that it's one girl winner and one guy winner. And at the end of the day, I think every guy's fear is getting to a final and then being dragged down by a girl if it happens to be a pair situation. So in I was happy about going to individuals instead of teams. And I had no aims on the guy side. I wanted to just make sure not to create any problems. So most of the time I let the guys pick the guys and just left it at
but
that.
You would have run a final with any of the guys, basically, you're saying. Like, you'd have been happy to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make me any difference.
You know what I did find interesting from this episode and going to the last one? In the last episode, Fessy, this is the first time Fessy gets in power and I'm sitting with him and he has conversations in the house saying he would go big, he would put a Wes or Bananas in if he had the power, but I was in the power with him. But then this time around, he has the power and you're with him and he still doesn't throw in a Wes or Bananas. I'm like wondering when that shift happened. I'm wondering if he was the one that got in Josh's ear to say Wes's name. I'm like, what? I'm wondering, like, because you see a whole different approach. Yeah. His gameplay has a different approach this week. And I'm like, where was the shift?
Very interesting.
You know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, or was he just saying that to Chris?
Right.
I think he was just saying
because
that
he could use you as a shield.
Yeah,
because he could use you as a shield last week and be like, oh, I'm not voting big because Tori, that's the only reason why. Right. And then this time he had more of the power. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Spetsy's conversation with me was very genuine. I think from how I saw people moving, Josh was the one moving skirty from the beginning. He had some type of relationship with just about everybody. So it was just a matter of time before he was going to turn on somebody because he had relationships with everybody.
Right.
So I don't think his idea came from Fessy at all. I think that was genuinely Josh's idea. And I think, I don't know Josh deep, 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 but I like the bit of Josh that I know of him outside of the game. And I genuinely don't think his decision to vote in Wes was like an attack at Wes. I think it was him thinking, so like, this is the best chance I've got to get to a final. I want this to be my season. This is my focus. And it just came to a point where he did what he felt like was best for his game.
Right.
And it hurt a personal relationship. Like, Mm-hmm. It was just a choice that he made, but he was gonna have to make that choice anyway. Because who of the men is there besides Tyler, who gets thrown in all the time? And at this point, like, who's there? Who's mm-hmm. there that he doesn't have a relationship with? Who, Corey?
That's fair. Yeah, and that eventually is gonna start happening, right? Where it just gets it gets smaller and smaller, and that's really, you know,
so that's what I attribute it to. That's just the space of the game, and all his friends are left, so he got turned on somebody,
right?
Do you guys think Wes is really retired?
No.
Me either. And, like, I'm saying that hoping that he's not. So, yeah. Like,
same.
Like, same. Listen, I get it. Go, like, you know. But I feel like everybody who said they retired, CT had a moment. I know that there's other challengers. They always fucking come back eventually. Like,
not always.
They do.
Not always.
You're back in some capacity.
But see, you on the podcast. You do the aftermath.
Yeah.
Look, they were like, we'll keep her close.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Keep her close.
You're still in the world, Devin. You're still in the world.
That's true. I am still in the world. And look, I know firsthand, private school in Kansas City is expensive. So Wes having a baby is all the more reason why he needs to come back to the challenge. But if it is his last time, it was beautiful seeing him sort of say his farewell and hearing TJ call him an icon and sort of like acknowledging all that Wes has contributed to the game, which is great. I do hope he comes back. And I think it's Tiffany said it best recently on the podcast that it really is like that toxic ex. And you were like, I am done with this relationship. I have learned and grown. And then they call you back and you're like, you know what? They seem different. Mm-hmm. They thought about it. Maybe we should give this a shot. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for people to stay away, I think, for that very reason. So hopefully we will get to see some more of Wes. I also want to know, because Michaela, you are definitely not short of strong perspectives. Cassidy's speech. I saw Chanel making a face. I saw, I think, Michelle making a face. I saw Desi making a face. Desi even said Cassidy always got some words when Cassidy did her speech at the end of elimination. What are your thoughts about Cassidy saying, hey, there's some girls who haven't been down there. Like, they need to come down. They see me as weak. Speak on that a little bit, if you will.
Cassidy's speeches are why Cassidy get bald. She need to learn how to be quiet and sit down.
You didn't even say quiet. You said, can you put the emphasis back?
Be quiet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be quiet. Mm-hmm. It's a requirement to close your mouth. But that's just, it's just a reflection of not reading the room. Mm-hmm. It sounds good on TV. But y'all saw the preview of the next, y'all saw the preview say coming up next time on the challenge. Y'all see that oil?
Yeah.
And them hands on bodies.
Oh, we had to do that in my first season of the challenge, actually. Pretty sure that wig still smells like olive oil to this day. It was a hot ass mess. I definitely got my ass kicked in it. So yes, I know that's going to be fun to watch, not fun to do.
Yeah. So probably you don't want to be making speeches before you got to get to
I feel like you have to have a lot to back. I feel like the speeches really only work well for two types of people. And correct me if I'm wrong, ladies. I feel like the speeches work well for people who really don't care if they win or lose. Like, kind of almost have there's no expectations on them. You know what I mean? Like, they're just kind of talking because mm-hmm. they know whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Or the people who know they're almost impenetrable. Like, they can talk, they line up one by one and they will systematically kind of like take you, like a Laurel, right? Like a Laurel in her prime can say whatever and has said whatever and then will just look at you with no emotion and you come step to her and it's like gone, right? Yeah. But then you see other people, even really strong competitors, who just go in, compete, they make mental notes, but they don't say anything. Even like a Tori. Mm-hmm. Tori runs her mouth in other ways, but she doesn't really say much when she goes in there and wipes people out. She just takes that mental note, absorbs it, and goes back. And so it's interesting when people who don't have the legs to stand on, a Cassidy and Amanda, and I think Amanda does it for entertainment, honestly, too. But like, do a lot of talking without, you know what I mean?
Well, also, to give Cassidy some credit, she just came out of her second elimination win, you know?
She did, but it involved patchwork.
Yeah.
And not saying it wasn't hard, mm-hmm.
But as someone who personally doesn't like eliminations and didn't ever want to go and has never actually had to really compete in an elimination, I'm proud of that record. You know, I always go, would I walk away from that? Or would I be like, all right, you know what? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a go. Now, I was worried about people touching people's faces because that was my first thought. Oh, they're going to claw somebody's face or knock somebody's face. That was my first concern. But it seems like production may have said, don't do that because nobody did that.
They did that.
Behind the scenes. Oh, did they? Well, we didn't really see them. Well, we didn't see like, well, no, yeah, I mean, yeah.
It wasn't it, like they tried. There was moments of like straight up beard gripping, though. I mean,
yes,
I thought Wes's face was going to be pulled off. I was nervous, dude. I was
like, we heard that. But, you know, like the cat claws and the face. Like I was somebody going to get an eye caught out. But otherwise, that particular elimination looked fun. But I mean, I was like, OK, that. All right, two rounds, like, all right, like, we can do that. So, yes, she's coming off an elimination, and not to take away from that, but, like,
And I would say, I get what you're saying, Tori, because, like, a win is a win, and I believe that, a win is a win. But I get what you're saying, too, Devin. It's like me, I won against Tiffany in basketball. On a pole.
Yeah.
Like, a win was a win, but you can't really come out of this game.
Right.
You got to humble yourself. Right. And be quiet.
It's not like a whole brawl, right? It's not like you came back.
You know?
Or the thing that, who was it? Even like Monty and Tyler, right? Where he still has like the scars on his body from the harness so long from holding on to that. Or like some of these old school ones, like when it was Naya and Car Maria. And that was like a 2 hours long digging in the sand. Like that is something where you could be like, hey, the other ones is a win for sure, but maybe not a win that warrants a speech all challenging people when but I guess
sometimes you get what you ask for. Ooh. Maybe she's gonna get what she asked for.
If that's not a teaser for next week and the rest of this season, then I don't know is.
I think that is. And I think that the rest of the season, I mean, I think this season's been the best season I've been a part of in a long time, just entertainment wise. Like there's so many great characters on it, like so many just great personalities, so much great competition. So I'm excited. I think that next week is definitely going to be brutal. And from here on out, like, it's just going to get stickier and stickier. Like, it's an epic season. But Michaela, is there anything else you want to leave the podcast with before we let you go? We don't want to take up too much more of your time. And where can we follow you on social media?
You can follow me at TheMichaelaB. My profile is private because I have a job. But as long as you're not a hater, I might let you in. And I don't know, I will say I've enjoyed this season. It's been very interesting to like watch things back and see how things are going. But I'm very happy also because I feel like I was myself the whole time. And I think it can be so unnerving doing this type of stuff because you are playing a game, but you also are a human who has a life outside of the show. And it's like, it's very easy to lose yourself in these environments. So I just appreciate that, you know, we're able to have our little, I didn't have no paper, but I had a little religious book and I was able to get my Bible reading on. And just having that center was very helpful for me. But also just being able to have a second chance and do this again, particularly at this point in life was very helpful because the first time I played, I was physically in the most amazing shape, mentally a hot mess. And actually watching myself get eliminated, it reinvigorated me because I realized like everybody sees me as this big threat. And on the inside, I feel like feeble, like a sheep. And it started this process of just reclaiming my mind and my emotions and getting back on track. And I feel like this season, this is me with my mind intact. My body was actually the worst it has been. I was in a car accident before I was on the show.
Oh my gosh.
So most people, like you saw me, Tori, walking around the house. Like every day I had heating pack, ice pack. I had stretchy bands. I had everything. I was never running on the treadmill or anything. Mm-hmm. Like the whole season was about conserving my physical energy as much as possible, doing what I need to do when I need to do it, but really trying to use my brain to keep me from having to use my body all the time. And that's because I like my body wasn't in the best shape. So I'm I'm happy that there's ways for people to play differently. And it's kind of like even like a person like Big T, even though I don't deal with Cassidy, I don't do the whole thing calling people weak. I think she's annoying and this, that, and other. But at the end of the day, you can have a strength in a lot of ways that can advance you in this game. It doesn't just have to be being good enough at a challenge to win a daily. You got to win an elimination.
Girl, you're but not necessarily preaching a daily. To the absolute choir. I was never known for being strong, and two finals completed. So I'm 2-2.
There you go.
So mind over physical.
Mind over a lot
and
of
and a little prayer helps.
A lot of things.
That helps. I did that too. It helped because God knows. We are so excited to see you back in action and to get to chat with you and to see how this game plays out. I mean, I'd say you've cemented yourself as a challenger, and also too, coming in, you know, with the girls, we saw the glimpses of you. We did see in the earlier episodes, we saw such organization and steadfastness with the rookie girls, particularly the survivor girls, in targeting the vets. Now, the vets were like cockroaches. They kept coming back. But I'd say of all the seasons we've had where there's been a large number of rookies, this is hands down the most impressive and the most organized we've ever seen rookies go at and unified at targeting vets sort of fearlessly. So props to you, Desi, Chanel, for remaining intact, and Cassie, and excited to see, you know, what comes of this season and when you and Big T are on a season together, because that'll be hilarious as hell to watch. So I also cannot wait.
It'll be funny. Well, look, I've appreciated it. This has been fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing the episodes tonight and the rest of them.
And Absolutely. Hopefully you again in the future. Hopefully we get season 3 from Michaela.
Look, I gotta ask Corey how he's Mr. Weekly, because somebody need to pay my bills. I'm gonna no, Devin, you a matchmaker.
I am.
That's my last note. Devin, now you know my personality a little bit. You've seen me.
I do
my
know
best
more.
And
we'll
my
get
worst.
You in the free database.
No, I need more than that.
Wait, I'll get your. Girl, I'll give you my number.
I'll give you my number. Girl, I need more than that.
We'll get you in the free database.
Free database.
Yes, girl. Because we're in Dallas. You're in Dallas, right? Yeah, we're in Dallas. So,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's plenty. I just need the right one.
All right.
Direct line. Thank you.
All right. We'll work on it.
All right, thank you.
Fun. Have fun in London.
I shall.
Bye.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything The Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Ooh, girl, that was hot. I mean, I knew it would be.
I mean, I really respect the way she just goes for it.
Yeah, I love that. She has the makings of one of those like future unstoppable challengers.
I think so too.
She is the one, for sure. You better get on that alliance, Tori.
I'm trying. She's still, I'm working on it slowly but surely.
Yes, girl. Yes, girl. All right. So while you're working on your Michaela alliance, where can others follow you and see everything else you're working on, including your children's book? Where can they find you on social?
Thank you. You guys can follow me at Tori_Deal. Just click the link in my bio. It will connect you to everything that I'm working on, all my little fun projects. And yeah, obviously you can see us on The Challenge and listen to us on the podcast. But Devin, where can they follow you?
You guys can go to my website, Devin Simone. That's Devin with a Y, Simone with an I.com. Scroll to the bottom. You will see my socials there. You can also follow me on my Amazon store. And then when we go live, we can chat back and forth in real time. We can shop and have fun together. You can just Google Devin Simone Amazon. It'll come up. The store is called Devin Simone's Gift Closet. I should know that. Or IG. I'm most active on IG. Shout out to those who DM me their thoughts on TJ's wardrobe and the podcast. Always appreciate those. And also, we appreciate those of you who, when you like this episode, you rate and review it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And those of you who tell a friend. So we appreciate all the positive feedback. Let us know your thoughts as well. And don't forget to tell all of your friends.
Yeah, tell all your friends. And also make sure you catch new episodes of The Challenge USA airing on CBS.
And then you already know, we'll see you right back here right after that for a brand new episode of MTV's official Challenge podcast.
Wes, don't retire.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything The Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.